those of you who weren't here last week we started a new short series looking at the book of Proverbs. There was an introduction. If you want to have a listen to that again, go to the website. But we're here today looking at chapter 2 of Proverbs, chapter 2. I challenged you to read a chapter each day. I wonder how you're doing. Hopefully, if you manage to do that, you'll be on chapter 7 by now, so you'll be ahead of us and you'll see what's coming up. In the first few chapters of Proverbs, we see several sketches of what wisdom means. We discover that wisdom is not an abstract concept. In fact, wisdom, as in chapter 1, is very, very closely, inextricably linked with the fear of the Lord. And we explored last week that the fear of the Lord does not mean living in abject terror of God, but in right reverence and awe of God, literally putting God first. And other things will flow from that. Now, wisdom, as it's described in the book of Proverbs, is often described actually as a woman. It is very much an embodied concept. And this is not just a much more than just a literary device. The essential nature of biblical wisdom is that we find it, we see it in one another. We say, that person is a wise person, and we perhaps aspire in our minds to be a little bit like them. Because wisdom is for living. In fact, nothing is truly known until it is lived out in the everyday world. Now, it's not until chapter 8 that wisdom's full beauty is described. So you'll have to persevere with your own reading, and we'll get to that in due course. But on the way to chapter 8, a few details of the picture are being filled in to give us a full idea of what wisdom is all about. In chapter 1, wisdom is described as a sort of town crier, making an appeal in the public square for people to be wise. But not so much the sort of rather eccentric caricature of a billboard person carrying a billboard walking up and down the street, but more the experienced orator at Speaker's Corner calling the crowds to take stock of their ways before it's too late. And now, in our reading today, in chapter 2, wisdom is portrayed as someone who sometimes hides, whose treasures need to be searched for. She is enticing rather than exhorting. She needs to be looked for and sought after, like treasure as rare as silver. The summons to hear wisdom is really a summons to hear God. It's a call to listen to God, not only in the times when God is in a sense public, perhaps like coming to church today, which is a good thing to do, because I hope that we come here to listen to God, but also in the quieter times, and perhaps in the times where God actually might feel a bit hidden. All the way through the Old Testament, the wise sages say time and time again that God can be found if we would but seek after him. I want to read you a few verses from Psalm 77, which really point this out. Psalm 77, the psalmist writes, I cried out to God for help. I cried out to God to hear me. I was in distress, and I sought the Lord, and at night I stretched out untiring hands and would not be comforted. I remembered you, God. I groaned, I meditated, and my spirit grew faint. I will remember the deeds of the Lord, the psalmist goes on to say. I will remember your miracles of long ago. I will consider all your works and meditate on all your mighty deeds. Your ways, God, are holy. What God is as great as our gods? You are the God who performs miracles, and you display power among the peoples. You see, that Psalm 77, like many psalms, is a picture of someone wrestling with God, wrestling for answers for those questions, the answer to often the question why, or what should I do? This is exactly the picture that is painted in chapter 2 of Proverbs that we should be doing. We should be seeking out God, seeking out wisdom. When we do that, we'll find that she provides for us a shield of security, literally. A shield. Protection for life's journey. So look at the verbs in the first half of the reading. We're told to store up, to turn our ears, to apply our hearts, to call out, to cry aloud, to look, to search. These are all linked with the word if. If you do these things, if we do them, we have the response. If you do these things, you will understand and find. How many times have you or I made mistakes while navigating by perhaps misreading a map or being led to follow a path or a road because it looks rather attractive or well-worn, even though it's the wrong way to go? The book of Proverbs knows this to be true of life and sees the stakes as much higher and with significantly higher consequences. So it is that the father instructs his son to walk the way of wisdom, which leads to life, and to avoid the way of folly, which leads to death. So Proverbs commands us to the paths which are marked by the reverence of God. And it does so by reinforcing the benefits that come to us when we walk in God's way. Because walking this path helps us to navigate the compelling perspectives we encounter in everyday life. It helps us to understand the God who made us and how best to live in our lives. This guidance means that God doesn't necessarily make decisions for us, yet he equips us with the wisdom to make right decisions. With our minds, we can come to understand something of God's wisdom, but we need to search for it. And when we find it, we'll discover a precious gift. Of course, we can look at the one who embodied wisdom most perfectly in that search. And that's why it's so good, as I said last week, to read Proverbs alongside a gospel, for example, the Gospel of Mark, where we discover and read about the wisest person who has ever lived, Jesus Christ himself. Remember that story of Jesus in the temple as a 12-year-old, a young teenager, holding the adults' attention. Not just ordinary adults, but the wisest men in the country. And this 12-year-old held their attention. They were literally spellbound by him. Because he is the wisest person who has ever lived. Well, in our chapter, we're told that wisdom also offers us protection against injustice. We're told she guards the paths of justice. Now, this is much more than getting a fair result in a dispute. God's justice is captured in essence in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. Where it says, walk in all the way that the Lord has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper and prolong your days in the land that you shall possess. Wisdom leads us to walk in this way, so we all understand what is right and just and fair. And if we're doing that, that in turn will lead to social justice, because we'll be the kind of people who demand that all have equal opportunities. because we'll see that what the Bible tells us about people is true, that everybody is made in the image of God, and that resources should be equally shared amongst all. Verses 10 to 15 in our chapter show us that wisdom has a winsome, almost an attractive personality. She shares her life with us in a way that is joyous and affirming and life-giving. And one of the key words used here is pleasant. It's related to the earlier word about wisdom entering the heart, and is to do with the protection that wisdom provides against evil ways. When wisdom winds her way into a person's heart and mind, that will protect and guard and save them. And yet we live in a world where human beings can do dreadful and destructive things to each other, and they have attitudes and behaviours that we all share in to an extent. And so what a wonderful promise it is that when we seek wisdom, and when it enters into our heart, and it becomes part of our thinking and our actions, it's pleasant. Now, it's this wisdom that the young man is spoken to here, who needs wisdom in the face of temptation. Because we know, as the chapter continues, he is facing temptation that will lead him away from the life that God has promised, instead down into the way of death. You see, the way of wisdom, if we seek and follow God, reverence him and follow his ways, this way brings harmony. You literally feel good. You're at home in the world and safe under the protection of God. We often hear people speak about the feel-good factor, don't we? Expecting it to be something that the government can deliver, or on the back of national sporting success or the economy. In fact, the feel-good factor is a very apt description of what Proverbs suggests the result of seeking wisdom may be. Because if we seek wisdom, we will be in touch with God. We will love his ways. We will follow his paths. Wisdom will come into our hearts and give us a sense of security, protection, deliverance, and hope, which is literally feeling good. When God made the world, as we read in the beginning of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, did he say he was satisfied? Did he say that it was okay, all right? No. He said it was good. And when he made you and me, did he say that was a bit better? That we were remarkable? The words he used for you and me are very good. And God wants us to experience that goodness in our lives on a day-to-day basis. And the way that the book of Proverbs suggests that we can experience that goodness is by living in awe and reverence of God. For that is the beginning of wisdom. Amen.